Our number does seem to be down this morning. We have several. Well, they announced the Trams were going to be on out of town, but they're here. As far as Joaquin and Anita, we contacted them, and they said they didn't need any food or anything, so they do appreciate our prayers. So let's keep that family in our minds. And then, of course, Aloha's not feeling well, Linda's not feeling well, and I'm sure there's others not feeling well. So we just need to remember everybody and see what we can do for them. This morning, I want to talk about a subject which I think is very important. And, of course, I talk about this subject. This is the third time I've talked about Bible authority. This is a subject that never grows old. It is a subject that is constantly needed and needs to be impressed upon our minds. Because without it, we have problems. And so we ask the question, are we willing to do what the Bible teaches? Well, frankly, if you want to go to heaven, you better. You better do what the Bible teaches. All right. Most of the problems that arise among brethren are due to lack of respect for the authority of God's Word. I mean, this happens over and over. And the issue could be multiple. It could be worldliness, divorce and remarriage, end of the world, is there a burning hell, did Christ already return, or the role of women in the assembly. And so, I mean, any one of these is when people, they start doing their thing. While each of these is a different issue, they are all symptoms of a lack of respect for the Bible. If we respect the Bible is our guide. If we respect the Bible, it is the final say-so on any subject. All right. To show what the Bible says on this subject or any other subject of worldliness or whatever will not correct the problem until those being taught have some respect for what God says. In other words, they're going to do what they want to do. If they're not willing to accept God's authority, they will continue in that practice they want to do and believe as they see fit. We know that's the case. People reject the Word of God and they do what they want to do and they justify themselves thinking, well, this is okay. And they ignore what the Bible says. And that's not going to help them get to heaven. So if we respect the Word of God, we must, as Christians, allow God to have the last word in all that we say and do. What saith the Scriptures? You know, Jesus asked that question. Everybody, he was a teacher. He was a marvelous teacher. People came up asking him questions. And a lot of times, sometimes they were trying to trap him in their questions. But usually, when someone would come up and ask a sincere question, how did Jesus respond? Well, what do the Scriptures say? How do they read? I mean, it is written. I mean, turning to God's Word, that is the most important thing we can do in order to be right with God. Yes, we need to have that emotional upbuilding in ourselves to, yes, I really want to serve God. But we also have to do it in the right way. I mean, a lot of people just come up with their own type of worship. And we know that doesn't work. All right. So, now here's some reasons why that we should respect Bible authority. First of all, God has authority over man. You know, there's a lot of people in this world who do not know that fact. They don't understand that God has the authority over man. By authority, we mean the power to command, to enforce laws, to exact obedience, and determine or judge. That is the authority that God has. And God has the power to tell man how he is to live and demand that he be obedient to his will. And the reason for that, well, notice, he is God. Are you God? Am I God? Is any man God? And the answer is no. He, God, our Father, He is the God of heaven. He is this God. The very fact that God is God suggests that He has all authority. He is eternal. In other words, He's always been. He said to Moses, I am who I am. When Moses said, well, who shall I say sent me? He said, I am. I mean, that's all he had to say. And some people might say, well, that's kind of a strange answer. He could have given us his name, but he just described who he was. He is. God is. And that's something that we need to remember. Because a lot of times when we get busy doing things like we're not supposed to do, it is because we have forgotten that God is. And God is the Almighty, the all-powerful God. And Revelation 4:8 talks about the elders and those bowing down before the throne, saying, worthy art thou. And he is the most awesome, all-powerful God that there is. He is God, and man is not. And when we start talking about man, that includes me. We need to remember that. That includes me. It's not what I want. It should always be what God wants. God is the creator. That gives him the right. He created the world and all things in it. In the beginning is when this happened. And then, of course, by faith, we understand that the worlds were made at his command. As he spoke the worlds into existence, as he separated the waters from the land, as he created the stars and the moon, and put the birds in the air, and put the fish in the sea, and the land mammals, and then he created man. The world was created for his will, at his discretion, how he wanted to see it used. And that's what he did. He created man and gave him the very life that he has. And that's true. God created man. Of course, he created all life. He created plant life. He created animal life and fish life and bird life. He created all life. But man was different. We know there in verse 26, he said, now let us make man in our image. He already made everything else, all the other living creatures. Specifically, he took this one individual creature, said, we're going to make this one in our image. So he made man. He made us in his image. And because he made us, he made us and not we ourselves. We read that from Psalm 100 the other night. He has created us and not we ourselves. He has the power to rule our lives. He is infinite in his wisdom. Here's something else about God. Some people try and think, well, I have a better way. I can do something better than God, or God doesn't know what he's talking about, or something like that. I'm sure we've all heard people say any one of those things. We know that his ways and thoughts are higher than man's ways and man's thoughts. Isaiah 55, verses 8 and 9. God is so wise that man cannot dare to sit in judgment on God and question what he says and does. We have no right to say, well, why did you make cockroaches? We have no right to say, why did you make mosquitoes? We have no right to say or question anything God has done. We may not like some of the things that he did, but we have no right to challenge God on it. Throughout the scriptures, God is always talking to people. Who are you going to be to judge me? In other words, were you here when the foundations of the world were laid? Were you here when life was created? No. God is the one who did all of that. And his ways are much higher than our ways. The best we can do is hope to attain those ways which he wants us to live. So man is not left to direct his own steps. Jeremiah 10:23, it is not in man who walketh to direct his own steps. And then we need to let the Lord guide our steps. In Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will guide your steps. God controls the destiny of man. You know, all the time we're trying to figure out man has control over his own destiny. We hear it all the time. We're talking about, well, we're going to kill ourselves with this global warming. We're polluting the air and stuff like that. And or we're going to have nuclear war, and that's going to destroy mankind. No, that's not going to happen. Now, a lot of people might die. A lot of people might get hurt. But you know what? God is the one who's going to determine when this earth is finished. God is going to be the one to determine when mankind is over. Paul described God to those who did not know God, saying, "For in him we live and move and have our being," as we read in our scripture reading this morning. We are also his offspring. And that's right. We are all, in a sense, children of God. All humanity is. But in light of that principle, Paul states that God has commanded all men to repent. In other words, putting away the sin, repent, start living for God is what repentance is all about. And God has the right to command that of man, in that he controls the life and destiny of every man. God is going to decide who goes to heaven and who goes to hell. In fact, he's basically already laid out the framework. He has told us in the scriptures, this is what you need to do. If you'll do this, you'll be blessed. If you will follow my commands, I will bless you and I will allow you entrance into the kingdom. But if you don't obey me, I'm going to tell you to depart into everlasting darkness. In the end, God is going to judge man. Doesn't do any good to judge each other. We're kind of warned about that. We have to be very careful the type of judgment that we do use on each other. Yeah, Jesus said use righteous judgment. But he also said judge not lest you be judged. Because we understand there is one judge. That is God. Now, Jesus is part of that judge since Jesus is part of deity. Deity is going to be our judge in the end. In Revelation chapter 20, when it talks about all the dead and the great shall all stand before God in the great throne room, and the books will be opened and we'll be judged from the things written in those books. Yes, God has appointed a day in which he will judge the world, as we read in our scripture reading, Acts 17:31. Whether we like it or not, whether we are ready or not, God will call all men to appear before him to be judged. That's an appointment we will not miss. We will not be late to. It is an appointment that is certain. We're going to be there. So God is going to judge man. If he will judge man, then he has the power to demand obedience to do his will. Alright, see, that's another thing about God. If God never gave us anything to explain how he wanted to be worshipped, anything would be okay, right? Absolutely. We could worship God any way we wanted to. But God has given us his will. God has told us what he wants. And he expects that from us. The Bible is the infallible word of God. We have to remember that. So how the word came to man is very simple. God speaks to man through his Son, Jesus Christ. Hebrews 1 and verse 1. And then the Son revealed God's will to his apostles by the Holy Spirit. He used the Holy Spirit to do this. John 14:26, the Spirit will guide you into all truth. Chapter 15:26, he'll bring to your remembrance the things that I've told you. And chapter 16, this is the Spirit, is going to guide you. God's Holy Spirit guides us. The apostles wrote down the revelation by inspiration, so men and women could read and understand the will of God. That's what Paul said in Ephesians 3, verses 3 through 5. So that when you read, you may understand my insight into the knowledge of God, into the mysteries of God's knowledge. So that's what Paul did. Paul wanted to explain it. And so we do so by reading. And holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. 2 Peter 1 and verse 21. And so all this comes from God. And then the Word is inspired. In other words, the word inspired means God breathed. The Bible was given by the mouth of God, at His direction, at His will, at His bidding. His words, its words, the Bible's words, are actually the words of God. We have to accept that. The Bible makes two claims about its inspiration. First of all of the Word is inspired. 2 Timothy 3:16. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto every good work. And this is what we call absolute inspiration. Even the very words that the apostle spoke and wrote were chosen by God. He allowed them to use their own style, their own phraseology, and different things like that. But these words were directed by the Holy Spirit. These words came from God. 1 Corinthians 2:13 tells that. This is the word of God that I speak to you, as Paul said. This isn't something I made up in my own mind. It's not something I conceived in my own heart. This is what the Lord has to say. And Paul kind of put that little emphasis, now pay attention. So this is what we call verbal inspiration. The Bible is the Word of God. We must accept that. The Thessalonians received the message that Paul preached, not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God. The Thessalonians were commended there. 1 Thessalonians 2 and verse 13. That's how we need to take it. And if someone comes preaching a message that is different from the word of God, we're not to listen to them. He talked about the seed of the kingdom is the word of God. You know, the seed that the sower sent out. The seed of the kingdom is the word of God. This is the gospel message. If it is the word of God, we ought to reverence it as such and not view what is taught from it as the word or tradition of man. We know that. We need to read and follow the instructions of the Bible specifically and leave out man's interpretation. We need to recognize we will be judged by the word. In the end of time, we will give an account as to whether we have accepted and followed the scriptures or rejected them. Now, we're probably not going to go through life thinking, well, am I accepting the scriptures or am I rejecting them? We're probably not thinking about that at all. And most people are not even thinking about that. But when it comes down to it, the God is just going to basically put out the question, did you do what I told you to do? I mean, how do you respond to that? Well, you know, in the workplace, and when you ask your employee, did you do what I told you to do? If they start hee-hawing around and looking around, then the answer is quite obvious what's coming. No, I did not. Oh, I did it. Somebody else just messed it up after I did it. You know, that's like you tell your kid, go clean your room. Oh, I cleaned my room. Some gremlin got in there and messed it up. Yeah, right. All right, so that's what God is going to ask. Did you do what I asked you to do? Plain and simple, are we doing that? Jesus said, the word that I have spoken will judge him in the last day. The words of Jesus, which as we find out, are the words of God. Because Jesus said in the very next verse that he did not speak on his own initiative, but he spoke only that which the Father told him to say. And he said in the next verse, and I know these words are eternal life. They will produce eternal life if we will follow his words. And God is going to judge the secrets of men through Jesus Christ. He knows everything about you. He knows what's in your heart. He knows what's in your mind. And you're going to be judged. And it's all going to be based on what Jesus said. Not how you feel, not how you think, but what Jesus said. So we must follow the pattern of God's word. This word pattern seems to be a dirty word lately. In recent times and discussions among members of the church, the idea that there is a pattern seems to be something that is a dirty word for a lot of brethren. Of course, they're going off into full-blown apostasy, and so they're making fun of us who say, wait a minute, that's not what the Bible says. Well, they're going to do what they want to do. So what do? They downplay the person who's trying to lead them back in the right way. Now, we must understand there is a divine pattern. God gave us a divine pattern. And anybody who starts preaching, teaching that we don't need a pattern, basically are saying, we want to do it our way. We don't care what God has to say. We're going to do it our way. Well, folks, if we want to go to heaven, we've got to do it God's way. And so he gave us a pattern. See, the Church of Christ, and most churches of Christ, not all of them, sadly, but most of them believe the New Testament is a divine blueprint for what the church ought to be in every age. And it is our responsibility to build according to that pattern. God has always had a pattern for his great institutions. For the building of the tabernacle, he said to Moses, according to all that I show you, the pattern of the tabernacle and the pattern of all the furniture thereof, even so shall you make it. He showed Moses how to do it. Moses came down and did it, as we read there in Exodus. And Moses did everything according to God's word. We find that several times throughout Scripture, how somebody did something exactly how God instructed them to do it. And guess what? God blessed them for it. You know, centuries later, God selected Solomon to build the temple and the houses thereof. And the pattern of all that he had by the Spirit. 1 Chronicles 28:11-12 talks about that. But if you start reading back in chapter 1, as David gave Solomon the blueprints and the plans and this pattern that the Lord had given him, David makes mention of the fact, okay, here's how you're going to do it. You're going to build this palace. You're going to have these rooms. Here's the dimensions. Here's what's going to be in each room. And you're going to have the priests come, and the priests are going to serve God. And he gave the divisions of the priests. Certain priests had certain functions, depending on what family they were in. And he mentioned that. And then the utensils that are used in the dishes, some of them are going to be gold, some of them are going to be silver, some will be brass. Here is how they are to be used. You want to read all that, go to 1 Chronicles 28 and read all the details. And David said, and this was what was shown to me. And this is the understanding I have from it. So he gave Solomon the plans to build the temple. It says, all this have I been made to understand in writing from the hand of God, even all the works of this pattern. See, God has given us the pattern we need to follow. If God was so concerned about the temple and the tabernacle and the physical buildings that he gave his people a pattern and demanded that they build according to the pattern, could he be so unconcerned about the details of the church, a spiritual house, that he has no blueprint for it? Believe me, there's a lot of brethren out there saying there is no such thing as a blueprint for the church. Since people are the church, we make the church what it is. Well, that's not according to Scripture. The tabernacle is a copy and shadow of the heavenly things, even as Moses was warned of God when he was about to make the tabernacle, for he said, "See that you make all things according to the pattern." The tabernacle was a shadow. The church is the reality. Since a shadow had a pattern, the reality must have one also. So whatever the Bible says on any subject is the pattern. If we must follow the pattern of God's word, then several conclusions naturally follow. We cannot add to or subtract from God's word. That's what the scripture tells us, and we better abide by that. We cannot go beyond God's word. Numbers 22:18 and 1 Corinthians 4:6 tells us that. We cannot change God's word. Galatians 1:6-9, you'll be cursed if you do. We must abide within the confines of God's word. And we're reminded that this is what God said, do all things in the name of Jesus. And abide in the doctrine of Christ. We must speak the very words of God. If anyone speaks, let him speak as it were the oracles of God. Very simple. If we respect biblical authority, we will follow it even as the prophets of old followed it. 2 Peter 1:21. If we respect biblical authority, we will follow it even as the apostles followed it. As we see in Acts 4:19-20 and then 5:29, we must obey God rather than man. If we respect biblical authority, we will follow it even as Jesus Christ followed it. He came to do his Father's will, and that's all he did. He didn't throw in any, "I think so," or I "seems to me it ought to be this way." Jesus never spoke anything of his own volition. It was always what God wanted him to say. Now the question is us. Do we recognize and respect biblical authority? We recognize that this has a bearing upon our souls. If we will listen to God's word, we know that it will go well with us. Just like in the days of old, when Moses gave the commands and said, "See to it that you are very careful to observe and do all the words of this prophecy, for it will be for your good." And we'll talk about that tonight. But anyway, yes, it's going to be for our good. If we will follow God's word and do what he tells us to do, it will be for our good. So consider that. We always offer an invitation at the end of our sermons to afford someone the opportunity, if they feel they need to respond in a public way, to be obedient to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that comes about because you put your trust and your faith in Jesus as the Son of God, knowing he died for your sins. And then you repent, you change your ways, you confess, and then you're baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of sins. And then sometimes we need to ask for prayers to have our sins taken away. 1 John 1, verse 9, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive our sins. And sometimes we don't have to do this publicly and go home, get in a quiet place, and take it up with God. But any way you look at it, whatever you do, make sure you do it according to biblical authority. Consider those thoughts. We're going to sing an invitation song. If anyone has a need to respond, we invite you to come while we stand and sing.